Hare Krishna. This is Dhanadhara Swami, and I will be able to have class today. It's been very, very unsteady, so I'm not sure who's left. Would someone like to say hello?
Jai Maharaj, it's Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. Okay, very nice. What I'm going to do in this class is just share with people and discuss with people things that I study during the week. And if it leads to conversation, that's nice. I'm not sure if Mahamuni is still hanging on. I know he's been busy traveling, moving. But if he's here. Muni, are you here? I don't know if that means yes or no. But anyway. So I'm reading the story of Gajendra. Just a few things. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns. So, yeah, I'm just saying, with my own reading, I'm doing right now something called prayerful reading. Every morning, basically when I get up, at least for 15 minutes, I set a set time, and I really try to be in the mood that I'm with the personalities that are speaking the Bhagavatam and writing the purports on them, and really pray to get some inspiration to develop my spiritual life. When you go to a saintly person, you're not just trying to become learned, you're trying to become changed. And learning is, knowledge is one of the processes that changes you. If your intention is to be changed, this is what people read, just for scholarship. But the real way to read Shastra and the way to hear Shastra is a longing or a prayer within the heart, to be changed, to hear with faith. And faith, that kind of intention, that kind of mood, that type of attitude, it kind of opens some kind of channel within the intelligence to that accelerates the realization. So when I read this, it's just a simple thing. This is just from today. I like that by prayers being worshipped, the Lord appeared. And I thought that was inspirational, that by sincere worship and prayers, that's the faith, that the Lord will appear before us in his splendor. So it's just inspirational to me to read that Gajendra offering prayers, and because his prayers were sincere, his prayers, prayer means basically you're asking for something, and spiritual prayers means you're asking to be pure and selfless, you're asking to be humble, you're asking for the service of God. But anyway, there's a connection between the prayer and the heart. Actually, when we went to the Japa seminar with Satchinandana Swami, one day the discussion in the morning was an alignment, to put things in proper position. Discussing when someone meditates, one does kirtan, one chants japa, the proper position and alignment of the body is to, you know, sit straight in the proper posture, because that facilitates meditation. The proper position of the mind is to be focused and attentive without distraction on the object of meditation. And the proper position part is to have some feeling for that. So when there's sincere prayers, and ultimately it's meant to get to the heart, because if the heart is there, if the desire is there, then the mind will naturally be focused, because that's the most powerful focus of the mind, comes from our desire. And we like ice cream, we're in samadhi and ice cream. You know, we like a movie, we're in samadhi in the movie. We like Krishna, we're in samadhi in Krishna. If the heart's there, then the mind will be fixed. But to get to the heart, you have to first control your body, then control your mind. Your mind means is offering your consciousness to Krishna, because without attention, there's no love. So I found this inspirational that when you know that there's a process, a prayer, and God appears before us. So I found that inspiration. And then this is just from a purport. In the future, I'll get the context. Prabhupada said, agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. I just love the faith that Prabhupada had. And his faith is in Shastra, because this is not something he's making up. When you protect the cows, and you respect the land, and you live simply, then there's prosperity. There's prosperity. When this, it's recession, depression, economic, you know, when it all settles, those who have land will be wealthy. Those who have food will be wealthy. And wealth is not just paper and precious metals. It's a quality of life. Wealth is having friends across the street. Wealth is having a occupation that suits one's needs. Wealth is having a sadhu that lives nearby that speaks quality katha. Life is walking. Wealth is walking across the street to the temple. Wealth is fresh air. Wealth is fresh water. When I was Croatia, I felt, wow, pure water. I was driving in, and there was a stream, and you can actually, you know, see a clear stream and drink the water from the tap. There's pure water. And then go bathing in the ocean, and it's just crystal clear, turquoise, clear, fresh. When I was on that island in that retreat, I felt I was the wealthiest person in the world. It's funny, but even though the island is so beautiful, I was wondering, what are these other people doing here that are just sunbathing? it's the devotion, and it's the one before the zeros. But anyway, I have faith. I have faith in Shastra. I have faith that Prabhupada represents Shastra, and I have faith that agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless. The pure life. Our life. We can be sinless, but it's not the way to be sinless to deal with all this technology that has so much stuff on it at the moment, that so many things are coming in our brains, and we have access perhaps to so many things. And so many things are being promoted in passion and ignorance to allure us from the pure awareness of the soul, which is the only thing that's going to make us happy. Powerful. So I thought Prabhupada's a visionary, because he was seeing how important the environment was to well-being and spiritual development 40 years ago. I remember I once went to some Indians to ask them about a retreat center, and I brought Raghunath. And Raghunath made an impassioned appeal. He said Prabhupada was on the cutting edge of everything. He was on the cutting edge of kirtan. He was on the cutting edge of healthy eating, vegetarianism. He was on the healthy edge of, you know, Indian culture. He was on the cutting edge of simple living, rural development, eco-friendly life. And then he was saying, everybody else has appropriated it. The followers of Prabhupada haven't took it up there. So now, kirtan is certainly speaking to the tradition in kirtan. But, so, very nice. 40 years ago, Prabhupada saw this. Another thing, just an analogy that I appreciated, sparks are beautiful as long as they are in the fire. Similarly, we have to remain in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always engage in devotional service, and then we shall be brilliant and illuminating. I just said a beautiful analogy. Our good qualities shine when we are humble and connected to God. Sparks are beautiful as long as they're in the fire. So if we are surrendered to God, which means humble, obedient, humility means obedient. It means obedient to the proper authority. Like I know even great saints in Vrindavan, because they have had some scar of humility. You know, when they go to a doctor, they become the disciple of the doctor. So an old scholar, most learned scholar in Vrindavan, he went to very renounced, simple person. He goes to a doctor. He's the best patient. He's humble. But anyway, our good qualities shine when we're connected to God, just like the sparks shine with the fire. So those are some of the things I've read today. Let me give you some of the notes of my kirtan retreat with Satchinandana Swami. This is an island of Is in Croatia, and next year I may make some kind of concerted effort to see if some people from America would like to go there. It's worth it just to be on this island and dive into the Adriatic Sea. It's just beautiful. I mean, I just am I living on a little island? I mean, you know, so undisturbed. Even during the war, which, you know, that region went through such a horrible war, I was with the devotees from Sarajevo who were under sea. The Sarajevo is it's like where east meets west. It's evidently like just such a beautiful place. It's also somehow has some alternative meaning, but it's where the east and the west meet. So even Satchinanda Swami said, you have to go to Sarajevo. And, you know, somehow it was a siege. There was somehow like 3 million bombs in 4 years thrown over that city. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to continue on. I forgot what point it was, but maybe it'll come to me. I'm not going to the retreat on ISIS. So anyway, they were under siege. The Serbian army was on top of the mountain. There's no way out. There was just one secret tunnel. Otherwise, there was no water. There was no food. And I met one very nice man. He's a guitarist that's very, I don't know his personal inner beliefs. I mean, he's connected with different spiritualists, but I know that, you know, he has long hair, ponytail. But it seems that where the temple, they let him stay. He's just a very, very good gentleman. And he was played with Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. He's a guitarist, a musician, a very, very nice person. And he was with the devotees during the war, and actually somehow, you know, when the war started, a lot of, I think the people left, but somehow there was this two ladies that stayed there, and I know one of them. And they said, he just told me that, the person was pretty amazing. He just told me he just took shelter of God, that God would protect him. And somehow food was coming. Somehow they even distributed food. But, and one of my godbrothers, and I remember one year he was doing a Cartier Brucker, some real austere thing. So he asked me, he said, what do I do next year? I said, why don't you go out and preach? You know, he's a little bit reclusive. So what he did was, his Kartik Vrata was to go into Sarajevo during the war. He went in the middle, the bombs were dropping, the city was under siege for 4 years. He went there to help others. That's faith. Anyway, I'm going to read from the retreat some of my notes from Satchinandana Swami. One, entering a retreat means to enter a new atmosphere, a new mode of thinking, for the purpose of change or transformation. Kirtan retreat means how to connect to God, the power who can really transform us. So this was a Kirtan retreat. And the difference between bhakti and other processes of transformation that are not Ishvara Pranidhan, deal with the object of your meditation as the divine. Your transformation is by your own power, and therefore it's limited, especially in an age where our own power is limited. So a spiritual retreat, you know, you focus your mind, alignment. There's different types of meditation, very, very effective for chanting. But the purpose is to connect to God, the power who can really transform us. And that's why Ishvara Pranidhana, worship God, for God, is so highly recognized. That's why most of the yogis chant mantras, which designate the absolute reality. Because the object of your meditation is not inert. It's active in your own transformation. It's not just a prop to be used in meditation that has no power within itself, but it's just used as a psychological tool. When you surrender to God, when you worship to God, worship God, and when you do the holy name, the object of your meditation is controlling the things that are binding us. So I like that point immediately. Satchinandana Swami is into a very holistic approach of transformation, beginning with living in Dharma, finding your bliss. He's into that, but he understands very, very clearly that the most powerful way of transformation is kirtan. And he made another nice point. Attending a retreat is not just a matter of going through the programs. It entails a change in intention, as only according to our intention do we act. Intention is so important, even determines life and death. For example, in serious health crisis, life and death matters. Our intention, our will to live, determines whether we do or not. Satchinandana Swami had a near-death experience where actually he was in the hospital, and the doctor told him that night, do you want to live or die? He said, why? Because only your will to live will keep you alive. So if you want to have a successful retreat, you want to ensure that the use of your time here is for the purpose for which you came, you must create a serious intention to be transformed. You go to a retreat, you could be looking for a mate. That's your intention. You go to Vrindavan, you can be looking for, you know, to get married. That's your intention. And that will determine what you think and what you act, how you act. So it's so important not just to bring the body there, and the mind with your intent, but to actually create an intention to change, which will create a mode of acting and living for change. Therefore, at the beginning of the retreat, we make a sankalpa, an expressed intention of what you hope to achieve. Sometimes they say for a spiritualist going to bed at night, you create an intention, and you wake up with that goal. And he said, when we come to a retreat, we may feel an initial discomfort. That's because we come not alone, but with our old life, a life that must be changed. That means we must create space in mind for something new to happen. It may make us initially uneasy, but it's exciting and important work. So, you're bringing something to the retreat. Therefore, it's really interesting to see what happens the first one or two days, how people are a little bit uncomfortable. Because it's change. And change entails accepting some things which we don't like and giving up some things which we do. So we should be constantly rejuvenating ourselves in this way. Then he said, Satchinanda said a common maxim. If you think of the same things and do the same things, you'll get the same result. Retreat is to move from that place and get a better result, a different result. So, anyway, he was encouraging us very nicely that you have to make an intention, a will to change. And you have to have an objective to do so. And it determines your behavior. Here's some more. Kirtan is the process of falling in love with God. When you praise someone, the object of your praise occupies more and more of your consciousness. Kirtan is the process of praising and magnifying the presence of God in our consciousness. So, purity is when you're thinking of God, when your consciousness is occupied with reality, which includes your position and relationship to reality. So he's trying to explain this praise, when you praise, then the object of your praise, it occupies more and more of your consciousness. So this is what kirtan and prayers and japa does. It's this process of magnifying the presence of God within our consciousness. And God is reality. It's the absolute reality. It's reality. It's beautiful. Its reality is beautiful. Kirtan is the process of bringing Krishna, who is far from us, into our awareness and consciousness. Kirtan is the process of bringing Krishna, who is far from us, into our awareness and consciousness. Satchinandan also said, I become sad when the devotees become, quote, normal persons, especially in today's world where the culture is to become so forgetful of God. Of course, there's a sense of also being normal, that I have whatever desires I have a family, I take care of my kids, I'm kind and serve others, and I serve my mother and father and my father-in-law and mother, and you know it's normal, but the danger is when normal means accepting a culture that's forgetfulness of God. Satchinanda paraphrased Sanatan Goswami, kirtan is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Sri Chaitanya instructs that kirtan must be done in a humble state of mind That means anurag, humble longing to deeply want Krishna's mercy. Humble means you feel a need. And humble means you express that need. Because expressing a need is an expression of a subordinate position. So without humility, one cannot embrace the position that calls God with sincerity and love. That's called anurag, humble longing. I want Krishna's mercy because I want to be transformed. I want to pull up the anchor of attachments. This is a nice point by Satchinandana. Sri Chaitanya did thunderous kirtan, but after Bhav, deep feeling, not before. There's no objection to loud kirtan and wild dancing, but as an expression of Bhav. That's not a sadhana. It should be a result of Bhav, a result of feeling. And of course, when it's a result of feeling, then that's a sadhana. That's a practice that helps us. And I really also agree with this, that the kirtan has to be an expression of Bhav, just as food is an expression of love for the object of who you're cooking for, who you do love, your family or the deity. So that has to be there, the deep feeling. And the Danga is Krishna's flute, so it must be sweet. Kirtan should be sweet. Thunderous Kirtan by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but after Bhava. And I seem, if it's done prematurely, if it's an outside audience, if it's done prematurely, you'll lose some of the group that is cultured, who are not attracted to that type of wildness. But if it's presented in a way, and because bliss requires everyone that's there to bring it to the highest level, but if the kirtan is done in an appropriate way and people start feeling the bhava, then they can appreciate. Otherwise, they'll just see the dancing and the chanting as the mode of passion. In fact, I have a friend that taught at Harvard, and he came to the Boston Temple. And that's when the hardcore kids were turning the kirtan into a mosh pit. So he was teaching Bhagavad Gita. When he came home, he asked the students to write what they thought of the kirtan. And they thought, this is the mode of passion. They probably right. So I've seen this, a nice point. Are there any questions? Anybody like
to?
Who's that?
Hey, Maharaj, this is Guru Nishtha from Audaria.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare well done, with Maharaj.
Thank you. It's so nice that you could come on.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for the class. Very nice.
How's everything going?
Good. Tripurari Maharaj is in Costa Rica right now, and we're kind of holding up the fort here.
Okay. I mean,
I want to say that I really appreciate the point about cow protection and agriculture. That's really nice. That Prabhupada said.
Kind of nice. Yeah. Yeah, you have nice cows there, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful cows. I was doing this for 3.5 years. And I was teaching a particular text. And now my the work I'm doing and the lectures and seminars I'm doing is I can't guarantee I'm here every Wednesday anymore.
Okay.
If my life has changed. So actually, I haven't been on for a while because I was just in a kirtan retreat in Croatia and things like that. But so I was searching for an appropriate format. So the format will be is I'll just do my reading in the morning and take notes and then share it. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Grunishta.
Thank you so much for the class. And this is I'm definitely gonna be on whenever you're having it.
Thank you, and give my respects to Gumarj. Okay,
thank you very much.
Okay, great. It's so nice. That's encouraging to me that new people on. And anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
The 732 area code supporting my Sangha. Thank you. Thank you. Very nice. Good. Anyway, I like this new format. It's good for me because I know that the success of this class is that I have it. It becomes a habit with people. And when you have it irregularly, but it seems that still some people are coming on Wednesday. But I think this format will be nice. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Thank you both.
Okay.
Thank you both. Anybody else?
Hare Paul Maharaj.
Who's that?
The Supreme Bhakti.
Oh, Prema. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hariva.
I just got back from Croatia.
I heard.
Wonderful, really wonderful. I'm going to have a lot of slides because it was professional. And then after that, we had this opening of this yoga studio in New York called Yoga Maya. Beautiful, beautiful studio. And it was really very wonderful. The lady who opened the studio visited me in Vrindavan. That's where I met her. And she was the one that was also writing for the New York Times. But it was great because...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you told me about her.
150 New Yorkers from Chelsea. Yeah, and the place is, like, super beautiful. You know, and then it was Gauravani Ananta and Achyuta. You see them dancing, and then the Bhakti Cafe provided nice prasad. So that was pretty good. I'm going to be speaking there regularly, too. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming on. Are you in Odaria now?
Yeah, I'm visiting for a week. So it's been really nice. I'm there right now.
Thank you. It's very nice. Are you kidding? One of the nicest places anyone could be.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give a few more things as people are on. It says... humility is like an earthquake. If you are truly humble, your egotistic conception comes tumbling down. Real humility, therefore, requires a reconstruction, a new orientation, a fresh identity as a servant of Krishna. This is nice, too. Are you chanting the holy name, or is the holy name chanting you? Only when Krishna comes on your tongue and moves your tongue, you're actually chanting. It is thus important to note that of paramount importance is chanting, and chanting is our mood. It is only a certain mood that causes the holy name to appear and causes Krishna to chant. This is nice. When we think of the meaning of the mantra, it unleashes the power of the mantra to purify us. It is a key which ignites the mantra. Haridas Thakur chanted 192 rounds. Not possible if we are chanting the name. Only possible if the name is chanting us, if the name is dancing and chanting in our tongue. To do kirtan or any spiritual practice, anugata, or following the great souls, is important. You follow the path of the great souls, they will be attentive to you and correct you. Not this, not this. So, it was nice. Do you see the chain around your neck? It is an invisible force, but we only see it when we refuse to go further than we are. We can become free from the invisible chain of our mind that stunts spiritual growth by developing sambandha or relationship with Krishna. But only Krishna has the power to control and purify our minds and free us from the clutches of illusion. This is nice. Three key meditations. We did the chanting was very nice. We did very deep meditations. And first meditation, who you are. I'm an eternal particle of consciousness, eternally connected with the Supreme Consciousness. Second meditation, who are you related to? Krishna, the infinite conscious entity, is my only master. Three, what is the space in which you exist now? This present world is the field meant to reform my non-devotion. A kirtaniya should take long walks with Krishna and tell him how we have forgotten him and how much we want to renew that relationship. You can only get rid of strong desires by falling in love with Krishna. He will then naturally help you. How to take darshan or audience of the deity? Meditate on the beautiful form of Krishna and drink with your eyes like a thirsty person. How to take darshan or audience of the deity? Look at the Lord's form and bring it inside. See it inside. Words carry form into the consciousness. By seeing the deity in the mind when chanting his name, you will gradually realize that the name and form are non-different. Therefore, one who does kirtan should also worship the deity. When Suradas, the blind poet, was asked why he was taking darshan of the deities when he was blind, he said that I am blind doesn't mean that Krishna is blind. So such a nice concept of darshan of the deities, that it's actually to see us. I'll just say one more thing. I don't have that much today. Satchinandana Swami also, I know what it has when a word refers to something, so he has called the kirtan arrow. So these are and each day we had a different, very nice shastric lesson, very, very well prepared on each subject. So the first thing, kirtan arrow, A-R-R-O-W, A, alignment. Tune body, mind, and heart to achieve full presence and attention. Avoid offense. A, R, relationship. Enter the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. Diffuse your practice with this connection. R, rendering service. Offer your chanting in the spirit of loving service. Share the glories of the holy name with others. O, opening the heart. Cultivate the kirtan bhav of separation and longing experienced by Gaurachandra. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feeling. W, welcoming the divine gift. Live in sharanagati, surrender. Enter the receiver mood and patiently await your gift from Nam Prabhu. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the arrow analogy in these words. The Vedic mantra is the bow. The pure living entity is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. So, okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody like to say hello? Okay, spread the word. The class is back on again. Okay, so I'm going to finish now. Thank you all. Vanchakalpa through this chakra, the Sindhu Vedasha, Patitanam Pavanidhyo Vaishnavidhyo.